First Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 through 14. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Precious Lord, we just thank you, Father God. Heard Blanche pray, give us courage. Father, give us courage, give us strength to lay hold on eternal life. Give us courage and strength to grab and not let it go, and to fight anyone who would come and try to loosen our grip. Father, give us strength for the battle. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lay hold on eternal life. I like that. I like verses like that. Lay hold. You ever thought about a? Now I watch a lot of the Animal Kingdom movies, and when I see the lions go after the antelopes, and y'all always hear me tell the story, they don't go to the front of the pack. They look for the one in the back. They look for the weakest one in the pack. But once that lion, that young lion, grab hold of that antelope, it's hard for that antelope to get loose. Why? Because that lion has laid hold on that antelope. And that word lay hold means to grab and hold something like your very life depended on it. Let me give you a verse. I look up that word lay hold. Look at this one on the animals. I just thought it. It says Isaiah 55 and 20. I said, their roar shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. Nobody's coming around that antelope to help them. The mother antelopes ain't coming back and try to fight to get the antelope friend loose. No, no, no. And then that lion will fight off anybody that's come around. Them other ones, the hyenas and stuff come around. That lion's going to fight to hold on to his prey. So we talk about laying hold. And I know I get excited about texts like this because I just believe the church's grip is too loose on the things of God. And we can get sidetracked and we can lose our focus. But Paul was talking about laying hold. He was telling Timothy not something that he wanted Timothy to do that he hadn't done. Paul had already done it. Paul had already laid hold. And he's trying to help young Timothy. He said, Timothy, if you're going to see me again, you're going to have to lay hold too. Okay, you're gonna have to lay hold. And I hear believers all the time. Well, when I get to heaven, I want to see Jesus, and I want to see Paul, and I want to see Jonah, and I want to see. I hear it. Let me tell you something. If you're gonna get to heaven, you're gonna have to lay hold on eternal life. Okay, you're gonna have to lay hold. You're gonna have to hold on tight. Okay, because you ain't for a difficult journey. See, and if I was up here trying to be fake and trying to make everybody happy, and I'll tell you, it's going to be smooth sailing. It's going to be like getting on a cruise ship. Let me tell you something. This ain't no cruise ship. Uh-huh. This is a battleship you on. Not no cruise ship. I want a smooth sailing to heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible says if the righteous scarcely be saved, what hope does the unbeliever have? You got to hold on tight. Let me give you a verse. Matthew 11. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me tell you something. If you can get to heaven, Matthew 11 and 12. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to take it by force. Nobody just handing you heaven.
Amen.
Okay? Paul, here's Paul. And here's Paul in Philippians 3. You guys are familiar with this verse. And I'm just talking about laying hold. And the word laying hold isn't in this one, but you feel it. You can see Paul had to take his eyes off the past and put it on the future. You can't lay hold of eternal life when you always in your rearview mirror. And all you worry about is what that happened to you. Stuff going to happen. Okay? Stuff going to happen. And you're going to like, get over. Get over it. And people don't like to hear, oh, you're so insensitive. No, I'm not insensitive. Okay? I'm just being real. Get over it. Stuff going to happen. And you cling on to the past all you want. Get over it. Okay? Because you got some more stuff coming your way. Okay? Just keeping it real. Here's Paul, Philippians 3 and 13. You guys know this verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Okay? Watch this. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a press way. Paul said, I press. I'm holding on. You can't press nothing if you don't have a good grip on it. Okay? You pressing your clothes. My wife is an ironing machine. She can iron. She might not cook good, but she can iron a shirt. Okay? She got that iron out, man, and she got the creases going on. I go to work and they say, man, that shirt got, I said, I got the crease game going. You know? So I got a good ironing wife. She can iron, but she pressing. She holding on to that iron. I bought her a good iron too. One of them Rwandas, like a $150 iron. And she worked that iron. I mean, but she pressing. Okay? And even our famous verse, the verse that all our faith hinges on, everything we believe in stands on John 3:16. But even John, in teaching John 3:16, saying it's a press way. It's a press way. Let me read it for you. You know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? That whosoever lay hold on it. Okay? That's what that word believe means. Lay hold on it. Whosoever lay hold on the things of God, the things that Jesus did, that believe that he truly is born of a virgin, died on Calvary's cross, was buried, and was resurrected on the third day. Believe that. That's the press way. He should not perish, but have eternal life. He should not perish, but he has held on. He has laid hold on to eternal life. Well, last week we talked about our oppositions. We know we have oppositions. You know the biggest one we have? Self. Self. What's the second one? Sin. Third one, Satan. Constantly battling self. Constantly battling Satan. Constantly battling sin. Sin representing the world, and the world is just bombarding us, bombarding our mind, bombarding our ears, our eyes, bombarding us with sin, compromise. You know the world, when you hear the world talk to you, anybody got some worldly friends? Am I the only one here got some worldly friends? You know what your worldly friends are saying to you all the time? Compromise. Yep. Compromise. They'll take all that. Lower your standards. Lower the standards. You know, you can do this. You can do that. Ain't nothing wrong with drinking. Ain't nothing wrong with this. Ain't nothing wrong. I mean, that's all the world do. All the world do is try to get you to lower your standards. Okay? And who does the world work for? The devil. I'm glad you said that. Marketing the devil. See, because a lot of folks don't even believe in the devil. A lot of church folks don't believe in it. Oh, you don't believe in that. No real devil. They ain't got a red suit and all that. No. No. See, I got some red on today. See, but the word of God teaches that there's a real devil.
Amen.
See? He is all because God teaches that in his word. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8 says, for your adversary, the devil.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom Lord. How does he devour us? He just gets us to lower our standard, lower our standard, lower our standard. And next thing you know, we are standing before the devil like a seasoned pork chop. Naked. No defense at all. Why? Because he said, before he said, your adversary, the devil said, be sober and be vigilant. Once the devil can stop us from being sober, you ain't got to be so serious. Don't take the word of God so serious. I mean, it's just church. You can miss a Sunday. You can miss a Sunday. Don't take all that. You ain't got to go every Sunday. Okay? You know, we golfing. We going to Browns game. We going to the Steelers or something later on today. Take it easy. You know, we going to have to lower your standards, lower your standards. Next thing you know, once you miss. Okay? So you're always battling. I want to talk about our tools today. How do we battle? How do we battle? But before we talk about some of the tools that God gives us to battle, let's think about the importance of eternal life. Okay? It's important. It's so important that God speaks about eternal life so much. Why? Because there's two eternal lives.
Uh-huh.
Okay? There's two.
Amen.
We don't like to talk about it. We just heaven bound. Heaven bound. I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. We sing it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But can we back up our singing with our lives? Can we back up our singing? Can we back up what our singing? Okay? Back it up. Or we like we say, well, the song too big for some folks.
Uh-huh.
Some folks ought not be singing, I'm going my way to yonder.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because they so earthly bound. Okay? I ain't on my way to yonder. That's how you should sing it. I'm not on my way to yonder. Why? Because I love it down here. I love it down here. I love what Satan has given me. I love the worldly things and the earthly things and the pleasures of this life. I don't want to go to heaven.
Uh-huh.
Don't want to go to heaven. Okay? Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, God, like I said before, folks are going to be going to heaven. Feet first. Feet first and holding on to the big screen. How important is eternal life? Listen. Here's Romans 5 and 21. He said that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. How? Here's how important eternal life is. It cost Jesus his life. It cost God his only begotten son. Eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ. When you look at the scriptures that define eternal life and how to get it, it's always going to say through Jesus Christ. No other religion. And listen, no other religion can talk to you about eternal life. Okay? Because they leave out Jesus. And once you leave out Jesus, there's no eternal life. Okay? When you know Islam, leave out Jesus. The Mormons, leave out Jesus. Jehovah's Witness, leave out Jesus. They leave out Jesus. Okay? Can't leave out Jesus and have eternal life.
Amen.
Okay? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. See, a lot of people will cut it short. There's a big ending to that verse. There's a big ending to that verse. Folks say, well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's enough. No, that's not enough.
Amen.
That's not enough. Let me finish that verse. Anybody know how that verse finishes? Through Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Emphasize that. Let me read it now. Now that y'all have a clear understanding of it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's got to be your Lord.
Yeah.
He's got to be your Lord. You can't have eternal life if Jesus is not your Lord. See, it didn't say Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay? He said, our Lord. See, we like him as a Savior. Oh, he said, save me again. Save me again. Got home from work the other day. You know, all that ice. Got home. He's my Savior. But is he your Lord?
Yeah.
Is he your Lord and Savior? Because the ways of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord. Here's a verse. Here's a verse on laying hold of eternal life. How do you lay hold of eternal life? Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's just the two don't separate. Here's Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. How do you keep yourself in the Lord? Keep yourself in the love of God. Okay? You lay hold on it. Don't let nobody get you. Don't let nobody make you compromise and sell yourself short. If you don't believe it, don't do it. Faith going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And we don't like it. It's not uncomfortable. It's not comfortable all the time. Okay? Okay? And if you think you're going to be saved and live in a fallen world in comfort, you're so badly mistaken. Still badly mistaken. Okay? That heat coming from your loved ones, coming from your family, coming from your kids, coming from your mama, coming from your daddy, coming from everybody. It's coming. It's coming. Okay? You're going to constantly be under attack. You are constantly in a warfare. And many times in the Bible, Christianity is compared to warfare. Okay? And we're like, oh, Pastor, you on that warfare kick. It's been like 9 years. It's just your anniversary today. You ought to be having a pastor anniversary party, and we should be having a good time. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody in a war having a good time.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Ain't nobody in a war having a good time. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. When them bombs is flying over your head and you in a foxhole, and you know at any moment you can die. Okay? You ain't had no party. This is tough. People say, oh, Pastor, how you like pastoring? Is it nice? Is it you having a good time? You know? And honestly, when folks find out I'm a pastor, their first thing, well, you know, where's your drive? What you driving? How you living? How many women you got? I'm serious. I hear this stuff. Right. And you a pastor? Oh, what you driving? Prius. How you living? How many women you got? You know, and they almost associate being a pastor with a pimp. Seriously, why? Because we selling it wrong. We selling it wrong. You know, you know, marriages and families and children, church, the battle wages is all around us. If you're standing. Now, if you're not standing, if you're not firm in the faith, if you're not standing, you ain't feeling no heat. Okay? If you tell me you're a Christian and you ain't feeling no heat, we got a problem. Okay? We got a problem. Know how I know that? Here's what Paul says. 2 Timothy 4. Watch this now. Here's Paul. Here's Paul who said, follow me as I follow Christ. Here's Paul, one of the greatest Christian warriors of all time. We don't even like to describe Paul as a warrior. But he was a warrior. He was a battle-tested warrior. Okay? And unlike us who suffer battle fatigue, okay? Many, you know, you look around the church, you see missing seats and everything. Let me tell you something. Most folks are suffering battle fatigue. And they become casualties of war. Because they couldn't keep down the heat. And they AWOL. Here's Paul. He says this. He said, for now I'm ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what that man? Let me stop right there. I have kept it. I have protected it. I have held on tight to it. Nobody was going to force me to compromise what thus say the Lord. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know what righteousness means? Right with God. That's all righteousness means. Right with God. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I've kept in right standing with God. God, I've been right with God. See, we'd rather be right with the world and wrong with God. Paul said, I'd rather be right with God and wrong with the world all day long. Even if it cost me my head. And it did cost Paul his head. He says, here there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now watch this now. And not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How about that? Love his appearing. Meaning ready for him. Can't wait till he come get me. Can't wait till he come get me. Okay? Can't wait till he come get me. Every soldier. Every soldier. I was watching the game yesterday, a little bit of it. And I was watching it. And they talk about this one player, maybe two. And all they did was stay in the film room. Stay in the film room. You couldn't get these guys to leave. You couldn't get these guys to leave. And when these guys go out to draft, the draft's coming. They go out to draft these players. You know what they look for? Are they students of the game? Are they students of the game? Or are they partying and running the streets and all that Johnny Manziel type stuff? They looking at these players and saying, are they students of the game? How do they study film? They talked about two players yesterday, and they said can't get them out of the facility. They always studying film, studying the opponent's next move, and what the tendencies are, and different things like that. And we walk around talking about we in a spiritual army, and we don't study at all. We don't study at all. We don't even know our enemy. We don't even know him. We wouldn't even recognize him. Okay? And in the NFL, they study in blitz packages where when the tight end is on this side or wide receivers in the double, they study all that stuff. They know what the tendencies are. They're going to run. If they in this formation, they're going to run. If this player come in the game, they likely to pass. And these players got all their process and all that. Now, I know I use a lot of sports illustration. I hope you women can hang in with me, but and I know some of y'all going to be greatly disappointed today when the Jaguars win. But But what I'm saying is, a good soldier will study his enemy. Okay? A good soldier will study his enemy. Absolutely. Listen. Who are our enemies? Self. World. Satan. We know him. We know him. And Satan don't change his game plan. He's not sitting here. Listen, this is working. This is working. Why would I change? Why would I change, okay? Why would I change? I'm not going to change my game because this is working. But you know what? We got a great commander-in-chief, okay? Well, see, when you got a great commander-in-chief, you know what he's going to do? He's going to make sure you have the best equipment to fight this battle. And we got a great chief, and his name is Jesus. And he's a great chief. And he gives us this equipment. And I'm going to go talk about this equipment for a little while. Then I'm going to let y'all go. But look at Ephesians 6. And we're going to talk about this equipment that the soldier has to have. And then next week, we're going to talk about how we use it. Or we may talk about it a little bit today. But we're going to talk about this great equipment. Look at Ephesians 6. You guys know this because I spent 38 weeks straight going through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. Okay, so your book, the Bible ought to be all marked up. Because we went all the way through Ephesians. Okay? We didn't miss a beat, and that was one of the greatest years of my ministry, teaching through Ephesians, something I wanted to do right away. Now look at chapter 6. Now remember, Paul always would teach doctrine and duty. He teaches the first three chapters, we all doctrine, who you were, what God did, and now, because he done that, here's how you ought to behave. Here's how you ought to act, and here's the equipment to do it. And when you get to chapter 6, verse number 10, he starts talking about his equipment. And boy, this is where it gets excited at. And he said, put on the whole armor. Now, armor in biblical days, armor was metal covering that you would put on to protect you, to protect your body. You didn't. What was the need for? Because you was in battle, you was in a war. Okay, so you needed to be protected. Paul's using that same illustration with the believer, saying that you are in a war. And what we do is walk around with no protection. Okay? What would a game look like, honestly? And I'm going to give you one more sports illustration. I'm going to try to stop. What would a game look like if the offensive team had on helmets, shoulder pads, they had all the equipment on, and the defense was playing flag football? And the defense was playing with shorts on. No helmet, nothing. Just they out there with shorts and tank top, and the offense got all the equipment. What would that look like?
A lot of TV timeouts.
A lot of carts coming out onto the field, carting folks off. I think about this. And I came up in this era, and I'm not using this to be, just not to be funny. But I remember back in the 1970 at Kent State, and the protesters was out there. They were protesting the war, okay? And they called the National Guard. I forget who was the governor at that time. And they called the National Guard. And National Guard came, and they had rifles, okay? They had rifles with real bullets in them, okay? And the Kent State protesters start throwing rocks. They started throwing rocks and throwing bottles. Let me tell y'all something, folks. It didn't end real well, okay? Because, see, you throwing rocks and bottles at folks that have machine guns. Okay? Now, this it can't be how we face Satan. We can't come at Satan with rocks and bottles when he's throwing real stuff at us. And this is the problem with a lot of Christians. That's why a lot of Christians walk around broke up, hard-headed, can't take a hit, like you heard Blair say, can't take an insult, can't take criticism, because they're not protected. They don't have their armor on, and they're walking around with bare, no protection. As soon as somebody says something, you know, that's why pastors just quit. You know, they just give up and quit. You know, I think somebody say every week 50, 100 pastors just quit because they can't take it. Can't take being criticized. Let me tell you something. Put your armor on. Look at Ephesians 6 and 10. I like to start here. My daughter, years ago, bought me this little plaque. And I was wondering, she used to come to church all the time. She'd hear me preaching. And I said, you know, how was that? What'd you think? She said, that's real stuff. Okay, probably too real for her because she stopped coming. But she brought me something. She brought me something. And know what I thought? And I spiritualized everything. And I think she was saying, Dad, if you're going to preach like that, okay, you better be strong in the Lord. Okay? If you're going to preach like that because you're preaching a message that people don't want to hear. Now, she was wise. Okay? Y'all can, Karina's wise. And our kids are wise. Okay? They know real from fake. Mm-hmm. Okay? These young people ain't stupid. Okay? And I believe one day God gonna bless this church, and he's going to add to this church, okay, based on the fact that we're going to keep it real, and we're going to preach Jesus Christ, him crucified, because that's all God called us to do. Amen. God didn't call us, though. You know, you got to tone it down. You want to get the young people, you got to tone it down. If you can get the young people, you got to let them come in church and mime, and you got to let them do all their little dances, and they got to come in here and rap, and they got to come in here. No, that ain't what God said.
Amen.
That ain't what God said. I don't think that's how Daniel got strong in the three Hebrew boys. I don't think they had, you know, little games that they played with the kids. Okay? He said, give them the word of God. He said, preach the word of God, Pastor. Preach the word in season out. See, well, you got to get the young people. You got to have some stuff for them to do. Get a bounce around in the front. Okay? Now, I tell y'all the story about the preacher. Say, if you want a crowd, you know, just put the Budweiser truck out front and some dancing girls, and they'll come. You'll have a full house every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Every Sunday. And churches is doing that.
Yep.
Elvis night. I went to a church, and they had Michael Jackson playing in the background. I'm bad. Where am I at? And then, you know, you stand on that, oh, you know, that's why you don't have no people, because you don't want to compromise. No, I don't want to compromise.
Amen.
Okay? I'd rather have two folks in here.
Amen.
And us three go to heaven than have 250 and 249 of them going to hell.
Amen.
Honestly. And now, and people say, well, you know, watching the movie Left Behind, and the woman, the girl come in, her mama going to heaven, everybody go, she come to church, a preacher there.
Uh-oh.
Let's talk about this armor. Paul says in Ephesians 16, say, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. Ask yourself what you're strong in. What you're strong in. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How about that? Talk about this armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, good soldier gonna have everything on. Everything on. Okay? Now watch this now. Why do we need to put on this whole armor of God? Why? That ye may be able. That word able means strong. Be strong to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me tell you something, folks. The devil got, anybody ever had a thought bomb? Uh-oh. Thought bombs. You know, thought bomb. Stuff goes through your mind. You know, where this coming from? Why am I thinking like this? Okay? Be the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. He's tricky. Okay? He's sneaky. He's the father of lies. Okay? When you're lying, you catch yourself lying, you know that's the thought bomb. Catch yourself hiding something from your wife, hide something from your husband. You know, wait a minute. That's a thought bomb. Satan got me doing some stuff that you may be able to stand. I like that, stand against the wiles of the devil. You know why? There's so many saved folk getting blown over, falling over. You just push them, spiritually push them, be like Benny Hinn. Uh-oh. Just do this and they fall over. Now I'm not endorsing that. I'm just saying some Christians so weak, little bump and they fall over. You hurt his feelings, you know. You hurt their feelings. Well, I don't know nothing about none of y'all. I try not to talk to y'all when I'm preparing a message. But I don't want nobody about, you know, he just saying that because you heard about it. I ain't heard nothing. Okay? I'm just saying something that's we not strong enough. There's areas in my life where I need God to strengthen me. Okay? And I beg for it. Give me strength, God. It takes strength to stand up here and just preach. Uh-huh. Preach a message that's not popular. Yeah. Okay? You'll see me on Wednesday night. I'll just be teaching. I'm just shaking and rubbing my legs and shaking because it's just a nervousness. And the word of God said, work out your salvation. How? Yeah. Folks get up here. They come up here. They just got their little stuff. I watch preachers throw the mic up in the air and catch it. And they fussing around, singing and dancing. Let me tell y'all something, folks. Playtime is over.
Amen.
Okay? And then when you get to a funeral and somebody lost a loved one, or you know, now you got to sit there and tell lies because you know they ain't ready. You know you're not preparing them. You haven't prepared them for what they're getting ready to deal with. Okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay? But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places. Some commentaries say that high places mean the church. Okay? A lot of battles start in the church. You know, there's churches now that's splitting. Breaking up, splitting. Why? Because half the church believe that we ought to have a homosexual pastor and nothing wrong with having marrying two men or marrying two women. Where'd that come from? Uh-huh. That come from the enemy.
Amen.
And it's designed. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm just a straight shooter. And you sit here and tell me that you believe that two men and nothing wrong with two men getting married, you can't be saved.
Amen.
You can't believe God's word.
Amen.
You can't. Because he created a man and a woman and gave them two different calls. Okay? And he said they can't be one. You cannot be one. Two men cannot be one.
Amen.
Okay? They cannot look each other in the eyes and be one. And ain't churches splitting over that. Split on. Split on. I've been in split too. Wherefore, verse 13, let's get to this armor. I might not get all of them done today. Wherefore, watch this now. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. With truth. With truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is truth? What is truth? Truth is God's word, okay? God's word ought to resonate out of the believer, okay? And God's word ought to resonate out of the believer. You ought to be filled with the truth. That word sanctified means to be endowed, to be filled, to be controlled by. You ought to be controlled by the truth. You know what? Jesus said this in John 17:7. Sanctify them through thy truth. Where is truth found? Thy word is truth. Okay? That word sanctify means consecrate, make holy, make sacred, purify, bless. Be filled with the truth. And when you're walking around in the truth, you need to make sure that you protect that. Because the world hates truth. Okay? The world hates truth. What do we find in truth? Why is truth so important? I'm gonna tell you one, I'm gonna give you just a couple. You know what? The plan of salvation is found in truth. The plan of salvation is found in God's word. Okay? Paul said this in Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Okay? For it is what? The power of God unto salvation. Okay? It is the truth. It is a true way of finding salvation. You cannot be saved without the truth. Okay? Okay? And then when you mishandle the word of truth, if you leave any part of the truth, if you have any part of your truth is compromised, you leave yourself vulnerable. You leave yourself vulnerable. Your armor is built on truth. And when you compromise the truth in any area, you become weak. Okay? Remember the king, Jehoshaphat? He went to war, disguised himself. And they was almost victorious. They was leaving. But the Bible says in 1 Kings 22, God shot a random shot. And it went between his armor. There was one little space there. And the arrow went there and wounded him, and he died. Because he didn't handle God's word right. And if we don't handle God's word right, we leave ourselves vulnerable. We leave ourselves vulnerable. And you know what Satan's looking for? Any area where he can start messing with you. Well, you know, I don't believe that. I don't know what God's word said, but I don't believe it. You know what you do? You give place to the devil. You give place to the devil. If God said it, that settles it. It's not a matter whether you believe it or not. Well, you know, God said it, but, you know, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, whose problem is that? Okay. Truth is found in the breastplate of righteousness. When you look at the breastplate of righteousness, you're right with God. You can't be right with God if you don't handle the truth right. Okay. So he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? What is the breastplate of righteousness? Think about that. It's really your ability to obey God's word. Okay? You want to stay right with God, what do you got to do? Obey. Be in agreement. If you're not in agreement with God's word, then you're what? You're disobedient. Why? Because it's not a matter whether you believe it or not. You have to understand God's word, and you have to be a believer in it. Now you're right with God. Now you have the breastplate of righteousness and all. People come in, but she's right with God. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. Let me give you a couple of scriptures on being right with God. Or being obedient. Being obedient. See if I can make this right. Psalms 119, verse 1, it says this. It said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Okay? Undefiled. Right with God. Not defiled. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his commandments. Excuse me. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And it's a picture of obedience. It's a picture of the believer that's obedient. You know, when you think about one of the great prayers in the Bible, you know, one of the great calls of the Bible, and even still in Psalms 119. And you think about this verse, and I'm just going to read some of it, and I'll ad lib on some of it. But it's about being obedient. Psalms 119 and 97. And again, as believers, we may not all be there right now. But this ought to be our goal. This ought to be what defines us. These verses ought to be something that resonate with us and define who we are as believers. And we may not be there. Man, I ain't there right now. But this is how you ought to be. This is what you ought to strive for. Psalms 119 and 97. He says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." All the day. And you know, you hear me all the time say, "I spiritualize everything. I see God in everything." As a man of God, as a woman of God, you ought to see God at work everywhere. Okay? Or you ought to see God at work, you ought to see God not at work. You ought to take everything with God. John Wesley said this when he would meet someone, the first thought would go to his mind, are they on their way to heaven or on their way to hell? Those were his thoughts. Those were what he would say. When he would start a conversation with someone, he would say, "Is this person a Christian or not a Christian?" Do you think like that? Do we think like that? We're going to talk to somebody, and then it ought to take us about, and really in the world we live in, it only takes us about 30 seconds to realize that this person is lost or saved. Am I talking to a lost person or am I talking to a saved person? And then we can crawl into our little prayer clause and say, "God, you put this person in my life. What do you want me to say? You ask God." Okay? You know, sometimes you just can't go full bore on a person, but you know what, God, you put this person in my life for a reason. What you need me to do? He says in verse 98, "Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." You know what? The word of God gives you wisdom. And you got to be wiser than your enemies. If your enemy is wiser than you, you have no chance. Okay? I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. Now he said he's got more wisdom and more understanding than all his teachers. You know why? Because he was living this thing out. Okay? He was out there in a day-to-day grind, living it out. You will have more wisdom than your teachers. Some of you listen to a preacher, you may come here, you will have way more wisdom than me, because you out there dealing with it every day. You going through. Plus, I ain't that smart. I understand more than the ancient because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. So you know what? This Christian soldier, no, he can't do everything he want to do. Why? Because the world looks at Christians they know what we ought to be doing. They know how we ought to live. They know where we ought to be going. They know where we shouldn't be. Okay? And an unbeliever see you somewhere and you in a compromised position, they'll say, "What you doing here?" "Uh-huh." "Well, I didn't expect to see you here." "Uh-huh." "They have parties all the time on my job. Don't even ask. You know, so-and-so retired. We're going to meet him. We're going down to the bar." "Well, you know, I'm not going."
Amen.
Okay? There's some places where you just can't be compromised.
Right.
Okay? And this is what the man that has written Psalms 119 is saying. But we live in a day and age where Christianity, we can do whatever we want to do. Okay? Listen, if the Christians stop going to the casinos, it'll shut down. Okay? If the Christians stop going to the movie theaters, they shut down. And if the Christians stayed home and went to church on Sundays, the stadiums would really be empty. They really would. And it's cold. It's cold, but I guarantee you, Three River Stadium, Heinz Field, will be packed.
Oh, yeah.
And I just get jealous. Because I spiritualize everything. I'm like, "Listen, look at these folks out here tailgate." Me and Cindy watching a game yesterday, and folks in Philadelphia was freezing, drinking beers. Drinking cold beer in the cold. And Christians, "It's too cold to go to church." Well, one of God said it was too cold to send my son down to the earth. Man, you know, it's just too... Heinz Field will be, they'll be cold, waving the yellow flags. The yellow flags to me, Vaughn, they're not terrible towels. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How about that? How about when you open up the scriptures and you start studying and you start reading? You know, you got these phones now. You can just hit the thing and it'll read it to you. How beautiful that is. Uh-huh. How beautiful that is. You can ride down the street and listen to some of your favorite verses. You know, maybe I'm going to punch in my Holy Bible and put it on Audible and listen to the entire book of John on my way to work. And that ought to be sweet to you. That ought to be sweet to you. A whole lot sweeter than listening to the news.
Amen.
Or listening to a Cavs game and they get blowed out by 30. See? This is what the believer, this is the prayer life of a Christian soldier. Watch this now. Through thy precepts I can understand, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 404. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That word is my guide. The word guides me, and the word illuminates everything around me. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. How about that? Quicken me, wake me up, make me alive according to thy word. According to thy word. Let me finish this because this is getting interesting to me. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offered of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Okay? Teach me thy judgments. Teach me to judge things properly. Teach me to judge things according to thy word. Okay? You know where we get in trouble at? When we confer with the flesh. Uh-huh. I remember Paul, when Paul got called, the Bible says, and I believe it's in Galatians chapter 1, God called Paul and he said, and I didn't confer with the flesh. Okay? I confer with the word of God. What you believe has to line up with the word of God.
Amen.
What you believe. If you got a question about what you believe, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. Line it up with the word of God.
Amen.
If what you believe, see, there's nothing new under the sun. And the word of God is closed. God not giving out new revelation to you or your name will be in the Bible. Okay? So if God is telling you to do something, you ought to find what he's telling you to do. It ought to line up with scripture.
Amen.
It'll line up with scripture. It will. God is, I think God is telling me to do something. Well, he ain't going to call you to do nothing outside of his word.
That's right.
He's just not. And if you're doing something outside of God's word, it ain't from God.
Amen.
So what you're doing ought to line up with the word of God. He's like, well, you know what? You need to stop preaching like that. Well, God told me to preach the word. Amen. And that's all I do. If you listen to me preach today, all I'm doing is give you verses. I ain't nothing new under the sun. Everything I'm preaching has been preached before.
Yeah.
I ain't making up nothing new. See, I'm doing something new. We doing something new over here. You ain't doing nothing new over there.
Amen.
Not if it line up with the word of God. Okay? We got to do something new to get the young people to come to church. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
Okay? If you're going to get them to come, you ain't going to get them to come because you got to do something new. The wicked. Verse 10. 110. No, I'm gonna give you 109. I'm gonna move on. We're not gonna cover all these today. My soul is continually in my hand. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget the law. Why is that so important? Because see, again, when you're in this battle, the enemy is always trying to get you to take your eyes off Jesus. What happened when Peter walked out on water? He was walking. He walked on water. He got out of that boat and walked on water. And then what happened? The wind started blowing and the waves started coming. He took his eyes off Jesus. And then when we take our eyes off Jesus, we will sink. We will sink. We will sink. And this world is designed to take our eyes off Jesus. So it gets you to take your eyes off Jesus. Sink you. Let me give you one more and I'm going to let y'all know. This one more. And I want to cover all of them, but like I say, Lord willing, we'll just pick up where we left off. But this one is good. In verse 15, it says something. It says, in your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me tell you something. I've looked at that verse so many times, and if I go back when I taught this a couple years ago, this wouldn't even come to my mind. Okay? That's why God's word is so rich and so beautiful to me. Okay? It says the gospel provides a rock solid footing. Okay? Let me say, when he says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, let me tell you, when you have peace with God, okay, you can stand against everything. All opposition, you can stand. Why? Because you are anchored. Okay? You are anchored in the things of God. The songwriter says, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. That's where you become steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the God. And listen to this. Look at that. Isaiah 52 says this. Now, we know what Romans 10 and 15 says. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings unto them. But look at Isaiah 52, and this is my last verse. And it says this. Same verse. Paul was just, he was just cross-referencing with Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bring good tidings of good and publishes salvation, that say unto Zion, thy God reign. Now, listen, if you're on a mountain, okay, and you're on a mountain, and your feet are solid, and you are unmovable on a mountain, folk, you got to have some kind of good shoes. You got to have some kind of anchor to be on a mountain. Okay, and this is what he's saying. This man is bringing peace. He's giving us the ability to stand on God's word. I think one of the texts say, when you've done all you can do, stand. Okay, and when you're at peace with God, when you're at peace with God and you know what you're doing is God has told you to do, and God has given you the ability to do it and the courage to do it and the strength to do it, you can stand. But when you're doing something on your own, you can be knocked over. You can be blown off, of course, and everything. But when you got God as your anchor, you can stand. You can stand. See, a lot of preaching, a lot of what you hear, not based on the word of God. Okay? Because most people don't. And y'all know, y'all smart. This is a smart group in here. Most folks don't want to hear it. Most folks aren't prepared to hear. You gotta come to church prepared to hear preaching. Okay? And Spurgeon said this, you run all week with the goats. You run all week with the goats. You don't want to be with sheep on Sunday.
Amen.
Okay? Why? Because sheep smell goat. Sheep and goat don't get along. Y'all think they do? No, they don't. They don't get along. Goat's breath stink. Let me explain this to you. See, you can't put a clean animal with an unclean animal. Okay? Bible said don't be unequally yoked. Know what that means? Okay? You take a sacrificial animal, like an oxen, and you put it on the wheel with a donkey or a goat. And y'all thought I was joking, but the unclean animal has a smell to it. That's going to make the clean animal going to turn his head. Okay? So the clean animal is going to turn his head and go to the right. And the unclean animal, what? Going to the left. And they're going to fight each other because the clean animal don't want to be with the unclean animal. Okay? That oxen is a sacrificial animal. Don't want to be with that goat. Don't want to be hooked up with that goat because that goat eats anything, smells a certain way. So when you get together and you get in a relationship with someone who's not saved, it's going to cause you problems. Okay? It is what it is. You know? It is what it is. Let me close. And I feel like I've been preaching long. Let me close. Let me find a verse and close. Peace is so important. And when God's talking about put on the gospel of peace or the gospel of peace shod to your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, let me give you this one. I had a good one. I'm gonna find it. Revelation. It's not Revelation. I'm not finding Revelation. I thought it was. Maybe it may be the shield of faith. But look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 12. Sorry about that. Talk about why is peace so important. Hebrews 12. In verse 14, it says this. It says, follow peace with all men. Okay? Follow peace with all men and holiness. Here's why peace is so important. Peace with God. For without peace, for without which no man shall see the Lord. How about that? Not peace with God. No peace with God. No seeing the Lord. Okay? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. God is the author of peace. And where there's no peace, there's no God. Okay, where there's confusion, there's no God. Amen. Confusion in the home, got a God problem. See, people say, well, I got a marriage problem. Well, you got a God problem. Okay? Well, I got a marital problem. I can't deal with it. No. You got a God problem. Uh-oh. Okay? Now, I don't know what it is. That's up to you. You got to get on your knees and say, God, listen, I got a God problem. Know why I know? Because there's no peace in my home. Uh-huh. Okay? And I know you're the author of peace. And I know he's the author of confusion. So if there's confusion in the home or confusion in the church, we don't have a marriage problem or a church problem. We got a God problem. Amen. We got a God problem. Why? Why? Got a problem with your parents? Got a God problem. Got a problem with your wife? Got a God problem. Got a problem with your kids? Got a God problem. I got a problem with my kids. They don't love the things I love. They don't love God. Uh-huh. Can't make them. Nobody made me love God. Nobody, hey, look, you better love God or I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. No. They don't love God. Whose problem is it? It's theirs. Okay? It's theirs. It's not mine. Why? Because I'm going to serve God. And maybe I'll keep serving God and they'll say, well, you know what? He served God despite the fact that I was a hellion. Okay? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, Romans 12, 18, live peaceably with all men. You know what he's saying? If it's possible, in all likelihood it's not, but if possible, you put up with that as long as you can. If possible, if possible. Why? Because we serve a God of the impossible. And people watching us right now, they'll come to us. We never know, maybe a year from now, maybe a couple years, say, you know what, I watched y'all while y'all was going through that. I watch how y'all handled that. I watch how y'all handled that situation. And I was just watching to see if y'all was going to do it biblically. See? Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the people of God. And we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We thank you for peace in the church. We thank you for giving us the whole armor of God. And even though we didn't get through all the pieces, we understand, Father God, the importance of truth. And we know truth is only found in your word. So, Father God, we ask right now, those that are here, those that are under the sound of my voice, that you would just give us the desire, like you gave the man who wrote Psalms 119. Father God, we want that same desire to open up the scriptures and let them become sweet as honey to us. Let the word of God become to us a lamp unto our feet. guide us, illuminate us. And then, Father God, when it gets dark, Father God, we just turn on the Word of God. Father God, when it gets a little bumpy, when it gets a little bumpy and the wind and the storms of life are blowing, we know we are grounded and shod with the beat of peace, the gospel of peace. Don't let the world blow us over. Give us strength to stand. Make us strong in the Lord. Father God, we thank you for everything.